Sunday afternoon, 12:15. Chaf Hei Shvat. Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Chaf Hei Shvat. Okay, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Chavis HaLavos. And these are things you have to think about. So if you're ever walking in the street and you forgot your iPod MP3 player, you could... These are things you can think about. We're towards the end. Thinking about doesn't even mean, if you would tape the shiur and listen to the shiur, that's not called thinking about it. That's a poor substitute for thinking about things. To listen to a shiur. After you listen to the shiur, then you have what to think about. But the ikar is to think about these things and to say to yourself, what do I think about that? Do I really believe that? Do I act according to what I believe? Etc., etc., and so on and so forth. We're towards the end of Cheshbon number, sort of towards the end of Cheshbon number 13. Cheshbon number 13 is that, mamash what I just said, do our actions match our yudias, our seichel, what we know? So we know certain things to be true and we think about them, but do our actions match that? And kafi, commensurate with how much we understand, is demanded of us. So you say, what do I need it for? Well, in a chanami, you can, that's a different cheshbon, that you have to live up to your potential. But here we're talking about that you can't say, let me daven like the next fellow, let me do chesed like the next lady, let me, it's enough to do what I see, what do I have to extend myself more for? And he gave the mashal of the king, or the adon that gave seeds, let's say 10 bushels of seed to a person, and he only planted 5. So he says, not only will he, and 5 he squandered. So not only will he have to answer for the 5 that he squandered, but the Adon will take him to task and punish him for the tvua, for the produce that could have been produced with the other 5 pounds of seed. And therefore, the nimshal is rather obvious, that you have to live up to... Now, in the Chavis Halvavos' world, it's live up to your understanding of how much you owe Hashem, your debt of gratitude to Hashem. But it really is not dependent on that. It's, kafi, what your understanding is of your obligation as a Jew, your understanding of what Hashem wants from us, your understanding of Klal Yisrael, and so on and so forth. So you have to act accordingly. If I'd be talking to men, I'd say if you understand what Torah is, then you have more of an obligation to act accordingly and not to say, well, that guy learns 1 hour a day, so I'll also learn 1 hour a day. I'll learn an hour and 15 minutes a day. I'll be better than him. It doesn't cut it. If you have an understanding of what Torah is, maybe you have an understanding of what it means to daven to Hashem or what Hashem is, where you start appreciating that Asher Bocha Bona Mikol Ha'amim, so you have to act accordingly. That's what this Cheshbon is, Cheshbon number 13. So we're towards the end. He says, V'al titla atzmacha belu v'ulai v'tomar. And it works both ways. He says, first of all, don't sit by and say, I'll just be as good as the other fella. Or to say that, if I were rich, then I would this, or if I were more intelligent, then I would this, or if I would have been born into a different family, then this, or if I would have had a different life. People dream that sometimes, and they make excuses for themselves. So there's no excuses. Hashem picked for you the life that you're living, and gave you the circumstances that you're living in, and gave you the spouse that you have, and gave you the family that you have, and you have to work within that framework. and don't say Louis Gati Lamalos Kach Vakach Min Hamomen VaChokma, if I'd be as rich as that person or as intelligent as the other person, then I would be able to fulfill all my obligations to Hashem. Hayisim Mishalim Kol Masha Ani Chayim Min Avodah LeBor Yisala VaAdom Elozem and Advarim, or such talk. So there's two evils he wants you to be aware of. One is that you'll say, okay, I'll be like the other person. That's good enough. No, you're you, and you have to live up to your potential. The other evil thought is to give excuses why you're not. Because if the excuses are true, then they're not excuses. Then they're the circumstances you're in. If you're busy taking care of what you have to take care of, so then that becomes your ruchnius, and that becomes you fulfilling your obligation to Hashem. But he's talking about that it is not uncommon for people to use to look at other people and say, yeah, if I had his money, if I had his brains, if I had his protection, if I had his family, if I would have been born with yichus, if this, if that, and they use it as an excuse why they're not living. So that's two, like, mahalchei hamachshava that he's coming to eradicate. It's sheker. The whole idea is sheker. You are what you are, and this is your life, and you have to, and you have an obligation to live up to the potential that you have. It's a big mistake. If this is what you're relying on when you're facing the Yom HaDin, you're not leaning on something very solid at all. That's his name for such people that say, if only I had that, then I would perform. So he calls them Bali Mashkon, as if they want a Mashkon from Hashem. He talks about it at length. People that say, when I have enough money, and I have a retirement fund, and I have a 101k, whatever it's called, 401k, I guess I don't have one. And then I'll... Susan. Hisham b'locha, watch out, pentikochena, l'tainaloch v'la masla, because it's not irrational. You know, I'm sitting here like sort of mocking it. But when people think it, it sounds like a very logical thing. You know, I can't do X, Y, Z because I don't have the freedom of that person. So that no one's asking you to be like that person. The question is, the only question is if you're living up to your potential. Again, it works both ways. Don't rely on the fact that you're as good as the fellow next to you. If you have more potential, you have to, and it's like the seed, Marshall. You're not using all the seeds that were given to you from the Melech. And don't say, you know, when I'll plant the seeds when I have more time, when I have, I'm freer because I have more money and I'm more brave and I don't have to, I'm not so lachutz. Again, if it's true, it's not an excuse. He's talking about that people use such things as an excuse. That's the excuse. It's not an original thought. That's what every chote says. Now, he's not talking about a chote, a chate of commission. Obviously, a chate of commission, these thoughts are not relevant. He's talking about, the truth is, the word chate, the real root of the word chate means chisaron. It's missing. You're not living up to what you're supposed to live up to. So if you go with the root of the word, it really is more specifically, you know, more precisely a chate of a sin of omission, not a sin of commission. But that's already, okay, that's grammatical stuff, the real meaning of the word in its root. But he says it's not an original taina. That's what people are. People either placate themselves with looking at someone else and saying, okay, who says I have to be better than that person? Or people placate themselves by saying that when, if I only had, you know, the convenience of living in a bigger house, or if I only had the convenience of having more money, or more time, then, and when I get, you know, so let me work on that, and when I get more time and more money, then I'll be able to do. So again, if it's true, it's true. But he's saying more often than not, it's not true, and he's just using it as an excuse. Sheina matzelas also min ha'onesh. It's not going to help you. Excuses, don't cut it with Hashem. The door gate, my homework. In Mishlei, lo yavolzu leganov ki yignov lemalei nafsho ki yirov. Ganov who steals because he's hungry and he doesn't have what to eat, so we can understand it, and we don't think badly of that person, generally, you know. You say, it's a chmanos, you know, he was forced into it. But, v'nimtzi yishalim shivasayim, but it's not an excuse, or it's an excuse. Shlomo Melech's point is, we don't think badly of that person because it's a very logical, rational excuse, and this goes for dishonesty, and this goes for a lot of horas het there that people have in various things, so they're very logical and they make sense. And lo yovozu, but if, many times it's just an excuse, and you're going to have to answer for it. I will be shadochu nira, and we see he's poverty stricken. But tzarcho heviu lekachas moman acherim. Lo yinatzel b'zeh min ha'onesh, but tashlumei kefel, which is the strict halach in the Torah. We learned it yesterday. You have to pay double when you steal. Kol shekein shor, nowadays that doesn't apply because there's no Beis Din, no Sanhedrin. Kol shekein shor achaton. Okay, now he's saying, sim lecho ha'arichas hazeh l'shalol, the fact that Hashem postpones your onesh and gives you time. Use it. Don't use it as an excuse to hear. Ba'ol shetucha lefroa ma shetachaya bo lebore yom yom. Use it to shape up. Right? Start today. Don't start tomorrow. Okay? I'm going to start tomorrow morning, bright and early. There's no reason why you can't start today. Now. Ba'ol ta'acher ma'isa yom cholamach roscha. Don't delay what you could, and the male should be doing today. Don't say you're going to start tomorrow, except on a diet. Diets always start tomorrow. Because maybe you're not going to be able to do it. And who says you'll be around tomorrow? Who says you're going to be able to do it tomorrow? Maybe tomorrow real problems with crop up, and you won't be able to do it by met. You know, and you push it off to tomorrow, then you'll never get around to doing it. In Tagia Lamachros Tatiya Minosha. Vakasha Mizab, and even worse, in Yavo Kitzcha, you know, who says you'll be here tomorrow? Vatatsar Alecho Amasla, and then you'll have no more excuses. Vatiposik Ta'anoscha, he says, Ki Olam Kishuk. A very beautiful, vivid. A very vivid mashal. He gave a lot of vivid mashalim. He says, this world is like a marketplace. So the Yom HaShuk is when you're alive. That's the Yerid. That's when there's a sale. You got to go and you got to buy the stuff then. When you pass on from this world, the sale's over. And now you come home and you say, okay, what'd you get? What'd you buy? So don't squander. You got to go to the Shuk. You got to go to the Yerid, they called it. Or we call it also Yerid. And you got to get stuff. Ki Olam Kishuk, Kishe Yuskabetz. Then tomorrow it's gone. You go tomorrow to the Yerid. There's nobody there. Because the Yerid was only yesterday. So that's what he was marshal was to life. You know, the Yerid of mitzvahs, of connection to Hashem, of ruchnius, Torah, mitzvahs, that's, the Yerid is your life. And you don't know. So when the Yerid's over, it's over. Umisha Sochar Verviach, someone who was Zoriz, Sameach, umisha hifsid, is chareit. If you push off, I'll go tomorrow. Then you go and the door's locked. And it says, Yerid's over. The Yerid was only. So you'll feel foolish. Al kenom rachachem, so Shlomo HaMelech says about that. Uzachoras borecha b'mei b'churosecha. When you're young, adashalo yovu yimei hara. You say, I'll. do these things when I retire, when I get old. And when you're old, maybe you won't be able to. You know, people old have their own series of problems. They're not always able to do what they thought they would do when they get old. Okay, so that's Cheshbon number 13. Cheshbon number 13, how do we sum it up? Cheshbon number 13 is to use your potential. Are you using your potential? You're going to have to explain why you didn't plant all the seeds that Hashem gave you. And it's not an excuse to say that, but I have a 5-bushel field, and that's as much as my neighbor. It's more than my neighbor. So what? I gave you 10 bushels of seed. So what happened to the other 5 bushels? And not just what happened to the seed, but what happened to what could have grown from it. That's the one scary thought. And the other scary thought is not to push things off and say, when I am able to, I'm not really able to now. Or at least I'm adding to the Chavis HaLevavot, make sure that it's true. If it's true, so you're not able to. So that, as I said, that's your life. So you don't berate yourself and feel guilty if you're not able to do certain things because you have other responsibilities or because you don't have the capabilities. Chavis HaLevavot's point is not to depress you, or make you sad, or make you nervous. It's just to be mezaris, a person, to make sure they're living up to that potential and not using any of the excuses that he said.
It's just a technical word. The word amsalo, is that MS flow?
Maybe. Very good.
I've never heard that word.
It's an Aramaic word. It's used in Gemara a lot. It means an excuse, and you might very well be right. I'll check it out. Where will I check it out? Maybe Jastro. You know, maybe. You need a good Aramaic dictionary. I mean, in the Gemara it's used if a person says something, they're able to retract what they said if they have a good excuse. So that's where the word is used in the Gemara. Okay. I suspect you're probably right. Because it makes sense. But, no. Number 14. V'harbo osar. Cheshbon number 14. Cheshbon number 14 is very interesting. They're all interesting. Cheshbon number 14 is, it is like this. Let's say I have someone that I know likes me. He's very kind to me. He's my friend. He helps me out. He does good things for me. He cares about me. He's concerned for me. He smiles at me. I'm not sure why, you know. He's very nice to me. Then that's one level. And let's say I find out it's a very prominent person. It's a very chashuv person. It's a gadol. I find out that Dr. Steinman thinks highly of me and likes me and cares about me and makes sure and, you know, concerns himself with me. It's like, I reciprocate. That's his point. When you find out you have a friend, the human nature is to reciprocate, and you become their friend. And they show that they like you, you like them, and a relationship is formed. Number 14 is to think about Hashem that way. To think about Hashem as your best friend. There's this power out there called the Ribono Shel Olam, the Borei Olam, Adon Olam, and he is your best friend, and he cares about you, and he's smiling at you, and he doesn't always seem that way. That's the problem of life. That's what we have to overcome. It says in other places in the Chavis HaLevavot, Hashem loves us more than anyone else. Hashem loves us more than our parents, more than our spouse, more than anyone else. And he cares about us, and he's thinking about us, and he wants, and he's figuring out how to do what's best for us. So, if we would think about that, the Chavis HaLevavot's point in number 14 is to think about that, what would happen is we would reciprocate, and we would be able to develop Avas Hashem. We would become Hashem's friend. We would feel close to Hashem. We would want to do things that he wants us to do. We would feel close to him, and we would feel even davek in him, because human nature is to reciprocate a friendship. Cheshbon Adam im Nafsho, to think about the following. Be'ez ahavoso unutos nafsho v'kalos rucho, where he loves or he feels close to. El kol mi sheshoer mimenu, someone that he thinks, that he assumes, that he feels, that he experiences. Shehu ohavo kamochem. This is it's the human nature. If I discover that someone, I didn't know about it, I discover that there's someone that likes me and holds of me and speaks highly of me and cares about me and does things for me, I'm going to want to reciprocate. He brings down a pasuk in Mishlei to that effect. I think it's a pretty famous pasuk. Kama shekasuv kamayim haponim alponim kein leva adam la'adam. Mayim ponim laponim is you see your reflection in the water. You look in the water, you're smiling, so that guy in the water is smiling at you. So you're smiling at it. That's what you see. That's water reflects you. Kein leva adam la'adam. That's what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei. Two people connect to each other. This is in a different place. This uses this to if someone is annoying to you and causing you problems. So the Chavis Alvavus is Eitzah is to smile at the person and be their friend and take them for a cup of coffee, take them for lunch, take them out to eat for breakfast, lunch, a snack, invite them to your house, and this will work. That's what the Chavis Alvavus says. You could believe it, you could not believe it. It's really not Nugeya. He doesn't say it as part of Avodas Hashem. It's an observation he makes how to practically deal with such a problem. I would imagine it doesn't always work. Sometimes there are evil people in the world that enjoy being evil, but they're really the minority. Usually it's a misunderstanding. They think you resent them, so they resent you. And if you could kick in Shlomo HaMelech's pasuk into practice, it works. So in another place, the Chavis HaLovus actually says to do that. Actually, I think it's in Shara Bitochen, and we're about to learn it. If someone, you're certainly not allowed to take Nekama, right? And you're certainly not allowed to even bear a grudge. That's Lusitar. And you're not allowed to dislike the fellow, or right? You still have a Chivat Alecha Kamocha. And there's different ways of dealing with that, as we talk about when we learn Shara Bitochen. But on a practical level, to change the situation, Chavis HaLovus says to do this. Make your the favorite cake and send it over on Friday and say, here's some cake for Shabbos. V'koshkein. So think about the fact that if someone, you find out that someone, your friend, etc., your feeling towards them also becomes very warm and you want to reciprocate that friendship. V'koshkein, certainly in Miyoheshahu Saro Nogid, if you find out he's a big shot, he's rich, he's a prominent person, so you really want to attach yourself to him. Because you say, wow, look, he cares about little old me. Wow. And you want to be close to him. You want to connect yourself to him. The Yosem is there. And let's say he doesn't just smile at you, but he helps you. He gets you a job. And he gets your kid into the school you want him to go to. The Yosem is there. Kishayirim imenu os alze. He promises you things, and he does it. He actually, he's not just smiling. He's being mative to you. He does. And he doesn't have an ulterior motive. You happen to know that he doesn't get anything out of it. He doesn't need anything from you, and he's just sort of bribing you. Shlo yatridenu davar me'ahavoso. Nothing will be able to detract from your reciprocal ahava. Lo yaniach miyacholto l'nafsho ma'uma. Anything, you become devoted to that person. You become close and devoted, and you don't let anything stand in the way of that friendship. Avol yotzienu kula b'mitzvoso v'avodoso. You will expend your kochos and whatever you're able to offer to help that person, to reciprocate. V'yisnadei v'navsho uv'mamono uv'onov k'gmulo b'gmulo. You'll figure out a way to show appreciation. That's how the human being is wired. V'chivin shenasa zeh, if we would do that, l'nivra cholush kamonu, to a human being, you know, what can he do for us already? Kamonu chayovim, so now think and apply that rule, apply this human, this is how a human being is wired. So all you have to do is you apply it to Hashem. But then why? But you have to think, because we don't, if someone does me a favor, so I experience it, I see it, I feel it, I know about it. You know, Hashem, we don't think that it's Hashem doing it, we don't think about Hashem, we don't think of Hashem. Hashem is my best friend, because he gives me, and you can make the whole Shara Bechina list of what he gives me. He's my best friend. So you automatically, just if it hit home, the way it would hit home if a prominent person that everybody looks up to shows friendship towards you, shows that he cares about you, so your whole attitude would towards him would or her, if it's a woman, would be different or would change and would become. You want to be close, you want to be friendly. So he says, realize that Hashem is that, and the Nela, you let that kick in with you. Kamonu chayoven mikiflei zeh, double, triple, levoreinu yizborach. He says, number one is Hashem loves us. Hasher hodiyonu hanovi ki hu ovev osanu. Really, we say this in davening, we say either habocher ba'amo Yisrael bi'ahava, or we say ovev amo Yisrael by Ma'ariv, right before we read about our obligation, the ohavto eis Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshecho b'chol miyodecha, the bracha before Kriya Shema is about Ava Rabo Avtonu or Ava Solom Avtonu, and we talk about the love that Hashem has for every member of Klal Yisrael. And he doesn't quote the Siddur, Chavir Lovers quotes a Novi, Kemosh Amar, it's actually Moshe Rabbeinu, HaNovi. Kemosh Amar Lo Mirubchem Mikol Amim Choshek Hashem Bochem Bayivchar Bochem, Ki Me'avos Hashem Eschem. Hashem loves you, Hashem loved your forefathers. There's an Ahava, it's hard to imagine because we can't conceive of Hashem, but Hashem thinks kindly of us and likes us and cares about us and wants what's good for us, both individually and as a member of Klal Yisrael. Besides telling us through Moshe Rabbeinu that this love exists, everybody experiences it. Even again, we can go back to all the things he talked about in Shaar HaBechina or the first few items in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh about Hashem created us and he gave us existence and he, all the things that he does for us. So it's not just theoretical that he loves us, but he does. We're Jewish, we have eyes and we could see. We're Jewish, we have the Torah, we have a special relationship with him. He let us know what his will is, to be Kone Olam Haba, to be close to him, to be spiritual people. That outlasts any hanoah, any pleasure of this world. Ro'inu also sa'avosu ol son of Ezra Solonu. We experienced it in history, we experienced it in our lives. Everybody could think back and even people with complaints. But if they would think, that's the problem that the Chavis of Ovis talks about in the Hagdoma to Shaar HaBechina, why we downplay the good that happened to us and we exaggerate. It's in the forefront of our thoughts, even if we don't exaggerate, but it's in the forefront of our thoughts, the things that we think didn't work out so good for us. Really, they always work out the best, but we don't think so. But al kaponim, even l'shitaseinu, it's overwhelmed by all the good. Hashem, ki me'avos Hashem, also chadashim gam yishanim, our history. Remember, we were born, we weren't capable of doing all that much for 9 months, certainly not, and even afterwards for good couple of years, and now we We have lives. So Hashem took care of us. Look how He cares about us. Now he talks about he's really talking about more Klal Yisrael here, and he's talking about the Golus, and he's talking about how Hashem took care of us in the Golus. And you say, what kind of taking care? There were pogroms, and there was a Holocaust, and there were Gzeiros Tachvatat, and it's all true. That's true. But in general, first of all, we survived, and the other Umos did not. Right? All of our oppressors and all of those, they're in the waste bin. That's first of all. Second of all, this is part of the Tochacha, that every Golus will come to an end with the Jews being kicked out of their country, sometimes in worse ways than others. But for most of history, the Jews had it ganz good, usually a better standard of living than the Goyim around them, even though they were downtrodden and they were in. They were Jews and they're Goyim, you know, but if you compare their lives to the peasants, I'm not comparing them to the feudal lords, but if you compare them to the peasants, whether it's a higher standard of living, being literate, not being gas and coarse and drunk three quarters of the time, cleanliness. I mean, they had much, much better lives throughout the whole Golus than the Goyim surrounding them. And that's part of this promise. And Hashem took care of us. And, you know, we read this and we say, He brought us back there to Israel. The Golus was written 1,000 years ago. But they survived Churban Bayis Rishon, we survived Churban Bayis Sheni, and we survived. Just that is amazing, it's totally amazing, and a sign of Hashem's love for us. And He's not throwing us away, and we survived the other religions trying to replace us, persecuting us, and Hashem made sure that we survived. Kemosha Omar, Vavkam Zos, is a promise in the Torah. Vavkam Zos, be also merit. So, Ivehem, Loima Astim, I didn't reject them, Loiga Altim, Lachalosom. Right? This is what we say, Behold over door. But he wants, it's not the point now. He doesn't want us to be inspired by the Nes Shebo. He wants us to realize the Ava, Oevamo Yisrael. He wants us to realize Habocher Bamu Yisrael Biahava, that Hashem is protecting us and taking care of us and loves us, because He wants it to trigger. If we think about it and we think about our own lives, it will trigger a very, and this is a Chayvus Halavos, like a typical Chayvus Halavos Mahalach. It will trigger a very human response. It will trigger the same response that I will find out. If I find out that Rav Steinman thinks of me every day, and he's always concerned how I'm doing, how's my foot, how's my learning going, how's my davening going, you need some money, do you need this, do you need that, I love Rav Steinman. He's like, that's the Kal Vachomer. He says it would be true about any person. If I find out someone in the shoe likes me, so first I'll faint. That's first of all. I'm already too old to have friends. I have some friends, but they're all in America. What? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Thank you for reminding me. But he says it will trigger this very human response of Shlomo HaMelech's Kemar upon him. It's like a tongue twist of the pasuk. I never had it right. Kemayim haponim laponim, like a reflection in the water of your face, meaning smiling or scowling. Kein lev ha'odom la'odom. That's how it is with two people. Lev Adam La Adam. They connect the same way. The other person will feel towards you a reflection of what you feel towards that person. Is it always true? I don't know. Shlomo Melech was very smart, and Mishlei is usually true. I guess there could be exceptions, but we don't take advantage of it. And we don't take advantage of it enough. But he wants us to turn that around and use it for Hashem, so that we will develop a tremendous Avas Hashem. I'm learning with the men now at night, Shara Avas Hashem, the last Shara in Chayvus Halvavus. And he talks about how to be Kona that Mida. And it's interesting, meanwhile I did not get up to Cheshbon. He didn't say Cheshbon number 14 here. That this is a great way to develop it by utilizing what Shlomo HaMelech says is a very normal human emotion and reaction. So he says, think about how Hashem loves us and cares about us and took care of us throughout, throughout the Golus. V'amar ki avodim anachnu, mean by the Goyim we were avodim. But uva avduseinu lo azavunu elokeinu. He didn't, look at history, it was ganz gut. So Hashem's always thinking of us. Uva shloma sa inyan hazeh. If you want to really to take it a step, another step. Let's say I would find out that someone cares about me and takes care of me and gets me a job and like really looks out for me. Then I find out that when my father, Shalom, came over from Europe, that same person took care of my father, and he found him a place to live, and he read him the shidduch with my mother. And Alayhi Shalom, and he found him a job. Like then, I would be totally overwhelmed because he's not only my friend and he cares about me and loves me, but he did that to my father too. So that's what he wants us to think about Hashem the same way. Hashem not only takes care of us, but he took care of our fathers and our grandfathers and our great grandfathers. He's been there in all of history for us. To be mashlimit, to take it a step further, in other words, kimina yudua etzleinu, it's known, it's also true, shemisha yareya avoseinu, the avos avoseinu, someone who befriended your parents, your grandparents. I'm saying we're living in a sort of a situation where we can imagine people came over from Europe, they were befriended by different people, they were taken in. Certainly, chayavim anu lizkar lo asahava, we certainly have to feel, wow, I owe this person a tremendous debt of gratitude. Bekibudo bi'avoso, kamo shamar achochom, reyacha, again a pasuk in Mishlei, reyacha v'reya avicha al tazo. If someone was reya avicha, I have a special, you know, because how did I get to be where I am? I guess they said, my grandson's bar mitzvah. Thank you. But my point is, so my son-in-law was speaking, and he was really being makir tov to, I don't know, maybe it's usual, maybe it's not usual, he was being very, not necessarily emotional, but he was recalling all the friends he had along the way that got him to where he is today with such a chashuv shidduch, my daughter. And then he had this son, and now the son's bar mitzvah. This is like my oldest grandson, oldest grandchild. So, and he was talking, and two people came to the bar mitzvah. He had some rocky things in his life. He said that publicly. So he had some rocky things in his life, and two people in particular helped him a lot. And they were there at the bar mitzvah. So now what the Chayyim Lovus is saying is that as the bar mitzvah boy is sitting there, his son is sitting there, and he's looking at these people, and his father is saying, you know, these people helped me so much, and I am where I am today, you know, settled, Baruch Hashem, you know, the road is not rocky anymore, Baruch Hashem. So the Chayyim Lovus is saying, just it was a good example yesterday, so the Chayyim Lovus is saying, imagine what this kid, if he was listening, imagine what this kid feels towards these people now. Like, wow, like I'm here now, like you did so much for my father. So that's what Chavir Lovis is saying here. And I'm saying I you know, the people that helped my father and mother Aliyah Mashalom are not around anymore, but it's the same idea. In fact, I carry around in my wallet a picture of my father's brother who stayed behind in Poland, and he was a businessman, and he gave them money to escape, and he was killed. So, you know, I walk around with a picture of him in my wallet. Beryl, his name was Beryl. And he saved the whole family. The whole family got out. My father was in Yeshiva, but he sent him money, and the whole family came to Eretz Yisrael. And he was killed. So, you know, I don't know this person. Never saw him, obviously. But he is responsible for me being here now, right? He's responsible for my life. So how could I not feel Rikshei Ava and Akaras HaTov to him? So the brothers are saying, think of Hashem that way. This is like, it's not easy. You know, we say, okay, look, we'll say no. Wait a second. Not only is Hashem taking care of us, but he took care of our ancestors, our parents, grandparents, and I'm alive to tell the tale. And it goes back to Avraham Avinu, because really, Klal Yisrael is a manifestation of Hashem's Ahava for Avraham Avinu. Really. It's Avram. We're, I don't want to depress anyone. We're just Avram's descendants. It's Avram. It says in the Chumash, Hashem picked Avram Avinu. That the Am Hashem will come out of Avram. We just lucked out that, you know, we're descendants of Avram. Or if a person's a ger, so Av Hamon Goyim, no problem. He's also connecting to Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu took in everyone. But that's what Chavis wants us to do. He wants us, like, the way I think of Beryl, Olam HaShalom, Chavis wants us to think about Hashem. You know, he saved my father from Europe. My father was in the Holocaust. He wasn't even in the Holocaust, right? But that was Hashem's doing. Plenty of people didn't escape the way my father escaped. You know? What?
What does his kids feel about that?
I don't know if he had kids. I don't think he got married. Of course he did. Because we learned Mishnayos. When they have learning Mishnayos for the kids, they had a program of learning Mishnayos for the children who perished in the Holocaust. So they did have a child. I forgot her name now. But we learned Mishnayos for her. So, I don't know. Hashem doesn't confide in me, and the Holocaust was a tragedy. I'm giving an example. That, by the way, I don't walk around with his picture in my wallet because I'm a fine person. But my uncle, my father's brother in Rehovos, no, in Netanya, who's now passed away recently, he was one that told me I should always be Makatov to Beryl. So I took it seriously, and he gave me a picture, and I walk around now with it in my wallet. I didn't think of it. He had to tell me to do it. Okay, so we'll stop.